Great. If not, there's one around you, or if you've got your phone, smartphone, turn to the book of Philippians. We will have scripture on the screen in just a few moments as we walk through it. But we've started this new series in the book of Philippians called A Rebel's Guide to Joy. Because here's the thing, as we read scripture, we know that we are rebels by nature. Just as our human nature, we are rebels. Our sin makes us rebels. And we've started walking through this year through the book of Philippians for the next few months. And so we're going to be doing that today. Give you a little bit of background. We did this last Sunday, but a little bit of background is be sitting in prison and write the epistle of joy. Paul was in Rome. He was in jail, in prison, and he writes this epistle, and the central theme is joy. Some would say that Paul was the happiest man in Rome, and he was in jail. How could this be? How could this be? Paul, but this is how it could be, is that Paul's joy was found in his circumstances. Paul's joy was not found in his circumstances. It was found in Christ. So if you've got if you grabbed a bulletin today, inside it is a red sheet of paper. If you'd like to follow along with us, there's some are the points that we're going to go through there. And there at the top, you'll see the word joy. And with each letter, and you'll see the little hash marks out beside it. And this is just a little acronym that you can kind of take home today. But that word joy, to have joy, the first thing we have to understand as believers is that we need to put Jesus first. Jesus, then others, then yourself for that acronym. You know, because if you're always focused on your stuff, your problems, and your calendar, you will lack joy, I promise. Because this world can get very hectic. It can get stressful. Problems will occur. Things don't work the way we want it to work. And we can get very stressed. We can get very overwhelmed. And when we focus on those things, our lives lack joy. Our lives will lack joy. You know, a key to guard your joy is to make sure your happiness isn't solely based on your performance, on your popularity, on your gifting, or how you are acknowledged. I'll be honest with you. I like a good pat on the back. I like someone to come up and say, "Man, Chris, you did a great job today. Have you lost weight?" I want a pat on the back. I want acknowledged. I want to be popular. I want to be well liked. When I set out to get this week's things accomplished, I want it to go smoothly, and I want my performance to be well. I want the things that I'm good at naturally, I want to be able to use those gifts and talents and all those things. But the key to guard your joy is making sure your happiness is not just in those things. It's not just in those things. But our happiness, like Paul's happiness, was found in Christ. You know, here in this text today that we're about to read, Paul displays a vibrant relationship with Christ and his personal love for the church community in Philippi. We talked about that last Sunday. We gave some examples. We took a look at Acts, when Paul's first missionary trip to Philippi, and we see those first converts, we see all those first converts come and they put their faith and trust in Christ. and we see that church begin to kind of get organized. And then years later, we see now Paul is writing back to that church, and he's encouraging them. He's thankful for them. And that's what we'll see here this morning. So let's learn from Paul here as we see his joy that he has found in Christ and in this community. So let's read Philippians 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "And I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. I'm so grateful to be here today. I'm so grateful that we can come, we can worship, we can open your word, and we can learn from it, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would take the text that we're in, God, that you would prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. God, use it and speak directly to our lives. God, help us to block out the things that have distracted us this week. Help us to block out the things that have distracted us even this morning. God, it might have been a hectic morning for some of us. But God, I pray now while we're here, I pray that you would draw us in, that you would stir our hearts to love you more. And God, that you would use your word greatly in our lives, that each one of us here would leave different than we came in. God, we love you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about 4 points this morning. I won't be long, but we're going to talk about 4 points of to know joy. Know the joy. The first one is to know the joy of prayer. And we find that in verses 3 and 4 that we already read. I'll read it again. It says, "And I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." Think about who Paul's writing to. He's writing to these believers in the Philippi. Specifically, we know a few of them from last week in Acts chapter 16. We know that one of them was Lydia, this woman that he had met when he first entered into the city. And he went down to the river, and there was a group of ladies there, and the gospel was preached, and Lydia put her faith in Christ, and her life was transformed. It was changed. And we see that her generosity there in that passage, we see that she brings Paul and Silas into her home with Luke. Luke was kind of the physician that was kind of penning these pages, telling the story that we read today. And then Timothy, and they go in their home, and she kind of houses them and cares for them and just ministers to them and just loves them. And they go back out, and we see this slave girl. We don't know her name. We just know that she was a slave, and her owners were using her for their profit because she was demon-possessed, and she was able to tell people's futures, basically. And Paul cast out that demon of that girl. Now, the scripture doesn't give any more detail than that, but I believe that after that, that girl probably became a Christian. She probably became a Christian, became a part of that first new church there in Philippi. And then we see that they were thrown into prison, and they were there. They were first beaten and thrown into prison. And we see that the jailer that was in charge of guarding them hears the gospel, hears them teach and preach and sing while in jail. And we see that he came to faith, and he was so excited about it, he took Paul and Silas to his home, and his whole family became followers of Jesus. So we see Jared, just with a handful of people in this community, began this church. And we read Paul's words there. He says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy." He loved these people. He loved that community of believers. We just talked about a few of them. But man, he loved this group of people. Paul has gratitude despite internal conflict. What was going on internally, or what was going on around Paul at that time when he was writing this letter? He was in chains, right? He found himself in chains again in Rome, the happiest man in Rome, right? He was in jail. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what my response would be if I was in jail in a foreign place. It probably wouldn't be thanking people that were afar off. It'd probably be asking God, why am I in this situation? Why am I here? Why am I having to go through this? But Paul is thanking God for the people that he loved and held dear to him. The question for you this morning is, do you thank God through prayer for the people in your life? I hope you do. I know most of our prayers, most of the time, is prayers of, you know, tangible things and maybe even things that are going on in our world, sickness and different things like that, heartache and sorrow, and we're asking God to take these things from us or provide certain things for us. But how many of us thank God for the people that are around us, the people that God has placed in our life, the people, maybe our direct family members, maybe just solid neighbors, maybe good coworkers, maybe people in your church that encourage you and love you and pray for you? And how many times do we thank God for the people in our life? You know, rarely does Paul in his writings thank God for things in his life, but many times he thanks God for people in his life. People in his life. You know, when we are super critical, focusing on the wrongs, then we will not have, or we will not be a grateful person. When we focus and we're super critical of wrongs, then we will not be a grateful person. And there are times in my life where I can be very critical about things. Very negative. Focus on the wrongs. And I'm not a grateful person. Not a grateful person. You know, we should not always look for perfection in a person. And we should take time to show grace and understanding that sanctification, I know that's a big word, is a slow process. Let me explain that. This is where we can practice patience as a Christian with others, specifically other Christians. Because sanctification, this is a process that every Christian is on. It's the process that God takes us on, and he begins to mold and shape us. No, parents, we can kind of relate this in a small way as the way we raise our kids. You know, when they're babies, we don't expect a whole lot from them, right? We don't expect a whole lot from a baby. But as they grow and mature, we start to expect a little more, right? But it's a slow process. For some, you know, it was a glorious day in the house right home the last time we had to change a diaper. And we're like, praise God. No more diapers. I don't know if I was more excited about not changing diapers than having to pay for them. You know, it was a glorious day. I mean, it was a glorious day on a Saturday morning that my oldest woke up and didn't come and get us up. And she went to the kitchen and made breakfast for herself and her sisters. It was like Pop-Tarts, but still, it was awesome. Now she's like, asked for oven mitts for Christmas so she could pull the muffins and stuff out of the oven. I'm like, man, this is a glorious day that my wife and I can lay in bed and not be tackled by three little girls. Awesome. They know how to work the TV. They know how to work the microwave. And you know what? Now one, the oldest is using the oven occasionally. Man, awesome day. Awesome day. But all of us as Christians are on this process of sanctification. But it's a slow process. Many days it's like we've taken a couple steps forwards but a few steps back the next day. It's a slow process. So when we live in community, we've got to show some grace to the younger Christians, the Christians younger in the faith. Sometimes we have to show a lot of grace to the older Christians, because what happens as we get older? We get grouchier, right? We don't tolerate as much. We get stubborn. We can show grace, because for all of us, sanctification is a slow process. So we must know the joy of prayer, first of all. We must know the joy of prayer. We should pray for the people that God has placed us in community to live with and thank God for them. The second thing is to know the joy of partnership. Let's read verse 5. It says, because of your partnership in the gospel for the first day until now. He's thanking them for who they are, and he's thanking them for their partnership. Paul was very grateful for the generosity of the church in Philippi. Here's the glorious thing that we've learned in other places in the Bible, is that the church was very generous financially. They would give financial resources to help Paul's ministry, not only Paul's ministry, but they sent resources to Jerusalem during a time where people were just needed help from all the persecution and different things were going on in Jerusalem in that time. And they were generous to those believers they had never met, but they were generous. They were generous because of the gospel partnership that they had with specifically Paul, but all believers. You know, the church in Philippi knew the need of the gospel to be spread and gave sacrificially to make sure Paul could continue. You know, as the church, or as a group of body of believers that make up a church, we are all in a gospel partnership. We're all in a partnership here. We should have one thing in common, that Christ has came in and saved us and has taken us on a process of sanctification, molding us into the people that we're supposed to be. And we should have the same desire to see others meet Christ, to meet Jesus, to begin a relationship with the God of the universe. So we have this in common, this gospel partnership. You know, the gospel teaches us about sin. It teaches us about repentance. It teaches us about reconciliation. It teaches us about forgiveness. And then it teaches us about service. That's our gospel partnership. You know, Christianity is not just me and Jesus. Now, that's part of it. But the problem is we think that's it. Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. That's all that matters. Me and Jesus. But it's much more than just me and Jesus. It's we and Jesus. That's why we come corporately and gather once a week. That's why we meet in smaller groups throughout the week in homes and study the Bible and encourage one another and pray for one another and show accountability. It's we and Jesus. This is the church. And I'll be honest with you, those of us that have moved, who is originally not from South Louisiana? Raise your hand. We got a handful here, okay? All right. Those of you that are just here, just in South Louisiana recently. This weather's not normal, okay? This is not normal. I've been here 7 years, and 7 years ago when I moved here, I'd be wearing shorts and a t-shirt like one of our guys did during setup this morning. I thought he was crazy. But 7 years ago, I'd been wearing shorts and t-shirt this morning. But now my blood's kind of thinned out a little bit. I'm used to the warmth, and I'm freezing to death. It's cold. It's cold outside. It's cold. But those of us that have moved from another city or maybe even another state, moved cross country and are relocated here, we understand a little bit better, I believe, the importance of leaving a good church where we were at and relocating and trying to find a church. We understand the importance of this gospel partnership. Because when we first moved here, yes, we attended a few other churches before Grace Point was started, because we wanted to build gospel partnerships. We wanted those friendships, those bonds. We wanted people to know and care about us, and that they would love on us and we could love on them. We could encourage them. They can encourage us. We needed those partnerships. And that's why it's so important. Man, I encourage people that have moved away, that have been involved with Grace Point and moved away. Man, priority. Find a good church that loves Jesus, that loves His Word. It's important to have other believers connected to us, to have those bonds, to have those encouragements, to have people that pray for you. And not only just say they pray for you, but check on you. It's important. Third thing is to know the joy. To know the joy of anticipation. Verse 6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Here Paul shares an even closer look at where his joy comes from. Knowing God's unstoppable grace that is working in the lives of believers. Did you catch that? Knowing God's unstoppable grace that is working in the lives of all believers. Today, if you've placed your faith in Christ and you are a follower of Jesus, you have this unstoppable grace that is working inside you. Here's the thing. We are saved by faith in the work, not of our own works, but in the work of Jesus Christ and the work that He accomplished on the cross for our sin. That's why we come every week. Okay, that's not just an Easter thing at our church. That's something we celebrate every day. Why do we meet on Sunday? Well, we look back to the early church in the book of Acts. You know, when they met, they gathered together on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Sometimes, you know, I grew up as a kid thinking Monday was because I had to go back to school. A lot of us think that way, you know, Monday when we're working for the weekend, right? But Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday was also the day of Christ's resurrection. And the early church would gather together on the first day of the week, and they would worship, and they would read Scripture, and they would be led by their leaders and taught by their leaders and to grow in the faith, and they would pray, and they would break bread and observe the Lord's table, and they would do those things. You know, God continues His work in us as we grow in our relationship with Christ. And God completes His work in us when He brings us to heaven. Think about that for a second. Here's the thing. We've already mentioned it this morning. We're all in a process. If we know Jesus, we're all in this process. We're growing in our faith. It's called sanctification. There are days where we have setback. Our sin gets the best of us, and we have setbacks. But hopefully all of us that know Jesus, we are pushing forward, even though there are setbacks. Even though there are setbacks. But one day we will fully be sanctified. What does that mean? One day we will be full. We will hit completion of God's plan for us, the sanctification process. And when that happens, is it happens when God brings us to heaven. When God brings us to heaven. That's this, to know the joy of anticipation. I have to remind myself of this as a believer, because we're in a broken, fallen world and life gets rough sometimes. There's days where you just don't feel like getting out of bed, right? You been there? I'll be honest, as a pastor, I've been there before. Just don't want to go to work. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to talk to anybody. Just want to binge watch Netflix and, drink a cup of coffee. But I have to remind myself, as a Christian, this life on earth is as bad as it ever will get. That this life on earth is as bad as it ever will get. And I look and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that for eternity spent with God and being sanctified and being the person that God finally wants me to be and desires for me to be will be brought to completion. And it's so exciting. That is so exciting. That's why it's, when I remember that, and when I have that in my mind and in my heart, it's a lot easier to get up. It's a lot easier to keep on and to push forward. So the question, though, for you is, how many of you are here today and you're really good at starting projects but not as well at finishing projects? Okay, I've got my hand up. Okay, I'm ashamed to when people drive by my house if my garage is open. Okay? Because I like to think of myself as a woodworker, but I'm really not. I just got all the stuff to do it. I like to turn it on occasionally and make sawdust. But I've got projects at my house, in my garage, that are about 50-60% completed. And I like move on, get distracted, shiny thing over here, so I'm going to move over here and work for a little bit. But here's the thing about God. God will finish the work that He has started on you. Luckily, you don't have to rely on Pastor Chris to finish the work in you. God, the job that God started at salvation, He will bring to completion. He will bring to completion. This is good news. This is the gospel. God always finishes what He starts. This is great news. And this should give us a natural joy of knowing this. That God is going to finish what He has started in me. Even though there are days that are hard, He is going to finish what He has started in me. I believe that's what Paul is thinking and what he is saying in his writings here as he is chained to a Roman soldier in jail in Rome. The hard days. I don't know if I'm going to live or if I'm going to die. We'll see that as we walk through this book. But he knew that God was going to finish what He started. I'm so glad in these past 20 years of my walk with Christ, it's not been my grip holding on to God. Sometimes we think like that, like I'm just holding on to God with everything I've got. But it's not that. I don't have to rely on my grip, because my grip is weak. But it's God's grip on me. God is holding on to me. And sometimes I might get tough and macho and think it's my grip holding on to God and the world can throw its worst. But no, it's God's grip. grip on me. If you are in Christ, you are going home one day, and the world can throw its worst at us, but man, we can live with joy of anticipation that we're going home one day. Fourth and final thing, is that we should know the joy of affection. Let's read those last two verses that we read earlier. Verse 7, it says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." You know, here Paul did not hide his love for the believers in Philippi. We see it here in his words. He didn't hide it. He didn't kind of mask it. No, he loved those believers. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But he loved them. You know, here we must not just learn from the theology of the Apostle Paul, but also the love that he has for God and others. That's pretty, you know, a lot of times we like to break down, when we walked through the book of Ephesians this past summer, and we broke down the theology and just really dove into that. But here we just see some practical stuff with the Apostle Paul. His love for God and his love for the other believers. You know, it's very important for us to have Christian friendships that are centered by the gospel. I'm not saying that's the only friendships we should have, but it's important to have those. Those are a must-have. We should have Christian friendships that people are encouraging us and that are gospel-centered. That are gospel-centered. People that encourage us to be the person that God wants us to be. People that will, when we fall short, will call us out in a loving way. I have people like that in my life. I have people in this church like that in my life. I have people outside this church there that will speak into my life, that will encourage me. And when Chris Housewright gets out of line, they will hold me accountable and they will call me out on my sin. You know, this love for God and others leads us to joy. This should be a happy place on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m., despite the cold weather. There should be some joy here. When we stand and sing, man, there should be joy in our voice. Man, I love to sing. I'm horrible at it. I feel sorry for the guys that were standing over here this morning. I came up during the second song, and man, I was singing. And everybody's like, "What's that guy?" Chris, joyful noise, right? Yeah. Yeah. Man, this should be a joyful place. This should be a joyful place. When we leave this place and we go this afternoon and watch the Saints game. I don't know where I was going with that. That's going, man, there's going to either be joy or not joy, and we're hoping there'll be joy this afternoon and evening. But when we get up, despite the outcome of the game later today, man, we should have a natural joy. Those of you that have small kids, that's really tough when you're trying to get on the school bus, right? Now, I was an only child, okay? All this new boy stuff. God bless me with three girls. They all have long hair. That's like the worst. That's like every morning is like crying. We're brushing hair. You know, it's like just a battle. Man, there should be joy in our lives. When we go to work, And we're not real happy with our job, and we're not real happy with the people that we are around and that we work with. Man, we should have a natural joy, even though it's not a perfect situation, even though people can make us angry, there should be a natural joy. So as we close, what is it that's keeping you from joy? What is it that keeps you from joy in your life? Some of you can, now that we've kind of talked about it, some of you can put your finger on it right now. It's this person. It's this circumstance. It's this that's going on. Do you allow conflict to crush your joy? Do you allow conflict to crush your joy? And I hope not, because we're going to face it till the day we die. There will be conflict. But we can't let it crush our joy. Do you think you need something other than Jesus to find joy? That's most of us in here. Even though we wouldn't say it out loud, we believe it in our hearts. That there's something out there that's going to make us happy, right? It's going to be a bigger home. It's going to be a different address. It's going to be a bigger television. That's the battle I'm fighting with Cassie right now. Like, my eyes are getting worse. Eye doctors and new glasses are expensive. Just buy a bigger TV. Do you think you need something other than Jesus to find joy? I'd be happy if the Saints won tonight. Is my Monday going to look ruined if they don't? Probably. Yeah. Do you think you need something other than Jesus to find joy? Better behaving kids, a better job, a different address, more vacation time? Many of us think that bigger is better. A bigger house, a bigger TV, bigger muscles, a bigger church. That'd be nice. But here's what we truly need. We really need a bigger vision of God. Nothing else is an ultimate source of joy than God. I'm going to leave you with this. You can write it down if you want. You can just, it's pretty easy. But I'm going to leave you with this equation. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And I believe that's what Paul truly believed. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the Apostle Paul and how you used him greatly. I'm thankful that we can sit in a building this morning in South Louisiana and we can open it freely and not worry about imprisonment, fear of death. But God, we can read and we can worship freely. God, I'm truly grateful for that. God, I pray this morning for each person in this room. God, you know the needs, you know the hearts, you know why you got people up this morning on a cold morning and brought them to church. And God, today I pray that they were encouraged by your word. I pray, Lord, that you would use your word greatly in their lives. God, that we would understand that you are all we need. You are all we need, God, but God, you give us so much more. You've placed us in a place and surrounded us with other believers for encouragement, and God, thank you for that. God, I pray today, Lord, if there's a person in this room that would say, you know, you talk about what Jesus did for me on the cross, you talk about that I'm a sinful person, but Jesus took my sin. and that he will give me eternity spent with him. God, I pray if there's a person like that today, Lord, that you would begin to draw them in, Lord, that you would speak directly to their hearts, and that you would realize their need for you, and Lord, that they would place their faith not in their own abilities, but in the what you accomplished for them through Christ on the cross for their sin. God, I pray, Lord, that they would place their faith in that in this moment. And God, that they would let us know that they are a follower of Jesus. God, so we can come beside them, we can rejoice, and we can help them grow in their faith as new Christians. God, help us today, no matter what happens, today, tomorrow, this week, or to understand that our joy comes through Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and we'll sing.